You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rendezvous with the Writer, where readers and writers meet.
And story is everything.
We're your hosts tonight, Jim and Bobby Bell. You've just been listening to Hot Texas Swing Band.
Yes, Alex Dorman. We send our love and our grateful hearts out to you, Alex, for that music to open and close every show. And you are listening to episode 158, and it will be available immediately after it airs live on Facebook. You can watch it again immediately on YouTube. And then later tonight, it will also be up on just look for Rendezvous the Writer, episode 158. And Jim, who's with us tonight?
We have Mary Seifert.
Hi.
Here she is. Hello, Mary. Welcome.
Thank you.
This particular book.
Yeah, and we're hoping. Yeah, go ahead. What's
Airplanes, the book? Atlanta, and an Assassin.
Hello, Mary. Where are you joining us from tonight?
I am coming from Chile, Minnesota.
Very good.
Chilly, as in like it's cold, or is that the name of your city?
No, it's a little colder than last week. It was 30 degrees tonight, last night, so it's chilly.
Okay, well, the seasons are changing, aren't they?
They are. Beautifully, though.
We were just talking about hot dishes and casseroles.
Yes, sir.
It's always fun for me because when Jane talks to us about
Jean Cooney,
it's like, no, it's never a casserole.
Always hot dish.
always a hot dish.
Well, Mary, we're so excited to have you with us. You are the author of 10 books in this series so far. We're going to be talking in greater depth about them. Jim's going to start us off, though, with a little bio.
We do have one here, don't we?
Yes, of course.
All right. Mary Seifert is the Impact Award-winning author of the Katie and Maverick Cozy Mysteries. These are must-reads for cozy fans with curious minds and a love for uncovering the truth. When she's not penning her next mystery, you'll find her with a book in one hand, a glass of wine in the other, and a bite of chocolate never too far away. She enjoys walking her energetic dog and humorously claims to delete all references to crime from her browser history while awaiting a sumptuous dinner prepared by her live-in husband, Chef John.
Yeah.
Welcome, Mary.
Thank you.
Well, talking about puzzles, you just said something to us just a few moments ago that was so interesting. And you like to play that game. What's that game you like to do?
I like to play every game. I like to do cryptoquips and cryptograms, and I like to do regular puzzles, and I like to do wordsmiths, anything.
Yeah, and you were talking about the degrees of separation to Kevin Bacon.
I was.
And you had figured out something about us with you tonight. What'd you figure out?
I am 5 degrees of separation away from Thomas Edison and Henry Ford. So if we're here tonight, that's what you can claim by tomorrow. There was me, my mother, my grandfather. My grandfather worked with a geneticist, and he worked with Thomas Edison and Henry Ford.
Amazing.
You can retire now somehow.
You can?
There's money
in this.
Write that down. There's our claim to fame. Oh, how fun is that? We need to start figuring some of those kind of things out. Yeah, that's really, really fun. So speaking about cryptography and what you just said, tell us a little bit about your background and how that background informs your writing.
I was a math teacher for 12 years. My character ends up being a math teacher because her career in cryptography did not work out. In 2022, the U.S. Postal Service came out with stamps honoring female cryptographers. You can kind of see the stamps here. After 80 years, those women were the ones in the back room that were solving all of those codes during World War II. And then they would hand them off to the people that, you know, took them off to take care of whatever battles were being won or lost. And I think that that's a very important role. So that's what Katie went to school to become, was a cryptographer. Life did not work out the way she wanted. She became a math teacher. And so my story has a little bit of both of those as part of her life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know you have a question.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I can never do any of those cryptograms, ever.
We cheat.
Never. Oh, my gosh.
So this is a war cryptogram circle. And so when you had a message that you wanted to send or receive, you knew the code. Here are the letters across the outside, and there were numbers. And so your code would be written in numbers. You would know all those things ahead of time. So we could just pass the numbers around, and then the message would come through.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so cool. I think, I think one of your stories is that the first one deals with a Rubik's Cube, which I have never been able to figure out.
YouTube works. Yeah. Yes. Katie found an answer written on one of the sides after it was solved. So I had to go through YouTube to make sure I could actually solve it. And then we would figure out how Katie could come up with the code answer on the Rubik's Cube. So yes, the book had the Rubik's Cube in it. I also had, I also had, the use of triptychs in book number 3. So this one was sold as a way for someone to ask them, someone to marry them. So the code was, I love you, but you can change the code. So I play with the puzzles.
Very fun. And if you're happy to catch the audio on this, you'll need to go and find it on Facebook or on YouTube, because Mary is holding up all kinds of really interesting things to the camera.
How long does it take you to solve the Rubik Cube?
Oh, about 3 or 4, 5 months, maybe. I'll do a part. And then I will put it aside, because all of a sudden it'll just like boggle my mind, and then I'll pick it up again. I think if you follow YouTube precisely with them, you can do it in about 30 minutes.
Oh, wow.
I can solve 3x3x3 faster. That one I've done over the years, so I can solve a 3x3x3, but the 4x4x4, I need instructions.
Oh my gosh. I don't think I have it anymore. I got so frustrated. I'm not sure.
You smash it with a hammer and throw it out?
I went back to the magic 8-ball. I like that.
Yes, yes. Turn it upside down. It'll give you the answer.
Yeah. So, Mary, when did you start writing? Yeah.
I've been writing since grade school. I always wrote little short stories, and I always shared them with my mom. She was the one who liked to read all the time. I wrote stories in high school, but that wasn't what I thought I was going to do with my life. So I went to school to be a math teacher or a music teacher. So I have a math degree and a music degree. But I sent my first short story to Good Housekeeping in college and received my first of many rejections in college.
Mm-hmm. So that first rejection letter, did you frame it so you would always remember it?
I did not frame it, but I still have it. It's still in a file right next to the short story.
Do you want to ask her another question? Do you want to ask the other question about the other kind of letter?
You mean acceptance letter? You mean a good one?
In 2021, I sent out a query letter to a company that was looking for 3 individual stories from a cozy mystery series that were finished, that were complete. Excuse me. And I sent my stories in, and they accepted it. So in November 2021, I got my first acceptance letter. And that was fun.
That's so cool. And you had 3 at that time. And so was there a lot of, did they, once you submitted all 3 and they were reviewing, editing, whatever, were there a lot of changes? What was that process like?
There were quite a lot of changes. They decided that they did not appreciate the titles, and they were right on. The original titles that I had were Titanic Cocktail, Titanic Tea, and Titanic Trial. But if you put Titanic in the title of a book, people automatically go to 1912, and my stories are contemporary. So they were right. They needed to have a change in the title. They also said that I had a Katie Keelan, Kennedy Carney, Kenneth, and there were way too many names with the same letter name. And I didn't see that when I was writing it, but when they were reading it, they went, you need to change the names. Sometimes I have to go back and look at who I've changed the, or what I've changed the names to, because I got to know those characters so well. But I changed the names. And then because they wanted to market them as cozy mysteries, and I wrote them as a general mystery, I needed to cut 15,000 words. So that was my biggest hurdle. But it worked. Right. It worked. And they are now marketing them as cozy mysteries.
So I'm holding book 10 up to the camera. And we see, of course, up across the top, Katie and Maverick, cozy mysteries. And then this is a streetscape of Atlanta, right?
Yes, it is.
You know, okay. But then there's Maverick. There's the dog woven in here. Did they have anything to do with Maverick being a character, or highlighting Maverick as a character, or making Maverick be part of the cover?
They did. In fact, the very first time that I talked to the publishing company, I asked, you know, because it had been a while, I had gotten quite a few rejections, and I asked what actually was the tipping factor for my book to be accepted. And the first thing that came out of her mouth was, we like the dog. Oh, but we like whatever else there was. But that was the first thing she said, was that she liked the dog. So we and I always wanted to have Maverick in the books. We had a Maverick, and he was kind of the reason that we were writing that part of the story. So he was always part of the story. He's a very important part of the story.
yeah, that's very fun. And of course, this one, airplanes, Atlanta, and an assassin, obviously all A's. And as you look through your list of books, they all have something similar like that. How did you come up with that catchy idea of the sort of the three word title?
That was also the publisher. Remember, my first title was Titanic Cocktail, so it wasn't alliterative. They changed it to Maverick Movies and Murder. Then it was Rogues, Renegade, and Rescue. Then it was Tinsel Trials and Traitors. So all of those are alliterative, and that was the publisher. Now, when I start writing my story, I come up with one, and it may or may not make the cut, but at least I start with that three-word phrase that has the same initial beginning.
Yeah. So with this book, was Atlanta kind of the key word in the three? Because by airplane, we end up in Atlanta. And then the majority of the story is all throughout Atlanta. Okay.
Atlanta was very important. Yeah. I went to Atlanta to do the research. I went to all the places that I have the kids go. I walked the streets. We went to the World of Coca-Cola. We went to Margaret Mitchell's house. We went to the hotel there. It's the Westin that has the elevator on the outside of the building, which is the same thing that Katie has in her book. So I experienced those things in real life. So that was a very important part of the book. We also went to the Braves Stadium because, you know, the Twins play the Braves and they win. So it was an important part. And then in order to get the kids to their competition in Atlanta, the airplane made sense as well.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, they have a little hiccup on the way, but that's okay.
They have a lot of hiccups. Right.
Jim, do you have a question?
Yeah, I was asked about, you write about one of those luxurious private planes. Have you ever been on one of those?
I have. I was able to, we won one with a friend of ours at a gala event at the hospital in Wilmer, Minnesota. And we took one of those. It was a smaller charter, didn't have room for the nine, but have a private plane that had enough room to go back and forth. And so it was kind of interesting to see what you could see from the seats into the cockpit and the pilots and who was taking care of you and what's available to you. So I did. I used a little bit of that as well.
Yeah. Good. Go ahead.
You imagine all these swivel seats on these planes, like living room, and somebody's handing you a drink.
Yeah, and Diane comes out with that lovely beverage, you know, that she's serving them, right?
Yeah.
We have one more question before we take our first break. When you, I know, you should just ask it. I think most listeners may know, but if you haven't watched many of our shows before, can you briefly tell us what makes a mystery a cozy?
A cozy mystery has an amateur sleuth, usually brains over brawn, more of the thinking, solving the crime rather than the actual fighting, solving the crime. There is no graphic violence. The romance happens off the page. The language is a little bit lighter. There is also a kind of a community feeling. It is a much faster paced book, and it's shorter. It's lighter.
Yeah.
It's shorter.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And when writing a series, how do you keep yourself engaged with the characters and new storylines? I mean, does it ever feel like, oh, I have to write book 12, you know, or it's like, oh, I got an idea for book 12.
It hasn't happened yet. I have a bunch of ideas already written out and outlined for quite a few more. I think that when I was starting to write this series, I was so excited that I could just jot so many down at the very beginning. And then on occasion, I'll run across a kind of interesting poison or a kind of interesting, you know, way for somebody to leave this earth. And then I can jot that down. And that kind of adds a little bit of excitement to writing the series. Plus, I like my dog.
Yeah. And we are going to take our first little break. And we want to do a shout out to our friends at Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison. Are you a writer? Maybe you'd like to increase your social media presence, refresh your website, or like we did, launch a website. Our sponsors, Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison, are standing by to assist you. And here's a little word about a new project that they're offering. When we come back, we're going to take our first deep look at Airplanes, Atlanta, and An Assassin. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Authors, welcome home. Every author needs a website, a home base for their brand. Professionally showcase your books and brand with a custom website landing page starting at $369. Bluebookshelf.com. It's a great feeling to be home. Contact the Blue Cottage team today to get started.
Welcome back to Rendezvous with the Writer. We got our special guest tonight, Mary Seifert, and we're talking about this great book right here, part of a series.
Yes, this is number 10, Airplanes, Atlanta, and An Assassin. And you know, Mary, you and Jim and I have in common good friends at Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison, don't we?
Yes, we do. I've been very fortunate to work with them.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, unfortunately, we know we're on Facebook Live, but we actually can't see what people might be commenting or saying hello or giving us thumbs up. So we want to take a moment to say hello to all of you that may be watching tonight that are part of Blue Cottage. We are delighted that you are joining us. Maybe you're even sharing the show. We really appreciate that. And Mary, had a special opportunity this past week with Sue Reddy. And Sue is a big fan of this show. So if she's watching, Sue, hello. And thank you for this beautiful, I'm holding it up to the camera, Minnesota towel that she presented to me. We met, she and her husband were traveling. And they happened to come through Albuquerque. I knew she was coming, so we were able to set up a little time to meet. Sue, I was so excited to finally meet you and your husband. And we want to thank you, Sue, for everything that you do, too, to support authors, your book reviews, your book festivals. You're just a huge support. And, you know, she's a cook, too. So she's already, I gave her a book with some recipes in it, and she's already flagged some of them. So,
is she from Minnesota?
Yes, she's from Minnesota. Yes. Hello, Minnesota.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Well, okay. Mary, you received some exciting news this week. What did you receive?
The Airplane, Atlanta, and An Assassin won the Impact Award for October 2025 for mysteries in the crime novels. It was kind of exciting. It was exciting.
So exciting. And then you also, I think, are on a short list.
Yep.
For that was something.
Both Julep's Jockeys and Justice and Airplanes Atlanta and Us and Assassin both are on that short list for the Chanticleer International Book Award.
Congratulations. We love it when our author friends are either shortlisted or they get awards.
Absolutely.
And then we can count now, like, how far away are we from them? Some of them, they'd be like one finger away.
I'm not sure that makes me a better writer, though.
Well, let's see. What are we talking about in this episode, this segment here, honey? What are we talking about?
Oh, I have a question. Are we plot driven or character driven here in this novel?
I am character driven. Katie is the most important part of the series with Maverick. Yep. And so everything happens to her, for her, because of her, with her decisions. And I that is how I feel like I want to write my books as a character. So
yeah,
that's the way we saw it.
Yeah. And this is number 10. And so we haven't had the opportunity to read 1 through 9. I love it when I can pick up a series anywhere within the series and be just as engaged as if I had read them from the beginning. Usually there's always little tidbits of, like, little crumbs where I go, oh, I want to know what, when did that happen? I want to go back and find the book that happened in. And we have a mock trial going on as part of the storyline. And I asked the other night, is there a mock trial? Is that part of what appears in all your stories? You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yes. So the first 9 books are the 9 months of the year in Katie's first year teaching. So the first one is September, the second one is October. A lot of teachers take on extracurricular activities. So Katie takes on not only science club, but she also takes on mock trial with her best friend, Jane Mackey. They are working with kids to teach them what it's like to be an attorney. And they have some hopefuls among their students as well. They work on that throughout the whole school year. So they have trials throughout the year. They have practices throughout the year. They work on the trial itself, and it is dealing with a victim of the Titanic, from the Titanic, and his fiance is suing the White Star Line. So that's the case that they're working with, which ties back into the first book, which was Titanic Cocktail, but now Maverick Movies and Murder. So yes, the trial does go throughout all of the books, and the Titanic is the thread that kind of ties them together.
Cool. Yeah.
That's really fun. Yeah. I think that's really fun. And 9 books, 9 months. But how long did it take you to write the longer than 9 months to write the 9 books, Mary?
Well, the first 3 were done by 2021 and they came out in 2022. The rest of the books, so the other 7, were written since 2022. So it takes about 5 months.
Yeah,
that's pretty prolific, though.
Oh yeah, yeah. She's definitely on a roll.
I don't think I can read them that fast. No,
oh, that's the thing. Well, sometimes, you know, the readers can get through books faster than the author can get out the next one, and then we're all biting at the, like, you know, how, where's the next one, you know, from whoever we follow, and then that person is like, okay, I finally got that book released and published, and you know, I'm not ready with the next one yet.
That is so true. I just keep going. Fortunately, I'm a little winded. Yeah. So it's easy for me to come up with lots of words, and then I can kind of cut back and see if I can make it fit.
Yeah. Yeah. Why did you choose
Atlanta?
Yeah.
We asked that question.
Not yet. Why did you? They could have gone anywhere, right? Where? Why Atlanta?
I wanted to visit Atlanta. And I specifically wanted to fly over the Nantahala National Forest. So that was the biggest city that I thought the kids would go to. And then there were so many activities that they could be involved in as they were there, visiting things and some tours to take. So I thought that was one of the best places for them to go. That wasn't quite New York or Los Angeles, but still a very big city for small town kids.
Yeah, for small town kids. Yeah. And those kids have a lot of energy. You were saying earlier today.
Yeah, I thought about it, except I thought, you know, we got something going for those kids just about all the time. Do they have any energy left for the next day when they're going to start the mock trial?
They just keep going and going and going. But they're on vacation.
And you do take all these other locations, and it's a really kind of fun, especially if you don't know the area. And I would imagine if you know Atlanta, it would feel really comfortable. Like, oh, I know where we are. I know where, you know, I know where that is.
You know, we have a couple of research questions.
Yeah. Go ask away.
So airplanes are a factor in this story quite a bit. So where do you get some of your information?
I wrote the book originally and sent out the first 8 chapters to 4 different pilots. And then I had them tell me whether or not they thought what I was writing was close or on the mark or totally off the mark. And the very first time that the answer came back, I had a pilot who is a certified flight instructor. And he went through and he was very careful about putting in comments throughout the text. This works, this doesn't work, this is exactly here, this screen is 9 inches big, this fan is here. And he got to the end, and I had read online, because I'm not a pilot, that some of the pilots, when they're crashing, when they're taking a plane down in a forest, will try and land following that silver ribbon of a riverbed. And he got to the end of that chapter, and he said, and I said, and Jane looked at Katie and said, well, we made it. And his comment was, oh, no, they didn't. They crashed. So I changed that. We made it so it was something that they actually could do and land that plane safely.
Yeah. And that whole thing you do as a reader, you're sitting on the edge of your seat and you're biting your nails or you're drinking whatever you drink, you're gulping. That whole scene of that plane, and it's not a spoiler alert, it happens pretty early in the book. And then as they're, you know, leaving the plane, and then we have this amazing wilderness trek, where I just thought there's no way she's going to make it, but it's written in first person and she's this star. So I figure somehow or other she's going to make it, or the whole rest of the book will be Maverick, you know, barking. I don't know.
Exactly. She had to make it. And I knew she was intent on making it to be with those kids again. So that was important. And that was one of the driving forces.
Yeah, absolutely. There was another fun episode, and we've not yet been to an escape room. There is one here in Albuquerque, and I have a lot of coworkers that love going. And you give us, you read that chapter, and you know it's like being with those characters in that room. But you want to give us a moment for folks who maybe don't really know what an escape room is? What is that?
It is a series of codes and questions and puzzles and riddles that a company has for you to actually unlock the door to a room. It is a physical room. The door is never really locked. And they'll tell you that when you start this. It's not really locked. You can always get out. However, it'll give you an hour or perhaps 90 minutes to actually solve all those riddles, solve all those puzzles, fit together an answer, and work out whatever code that's locking the padlock or finding the key or doing the whatever you need to do to get out of the room. So they're fun. I've really enjoyed it. We've done it with my family and friends, and we've had a great time.
Yeah. It sounds like I think we have to try it. I think we have to try it.
I was thinking, first thinking about it, I could get claustrophobic trying to figure out how to get out of this thing.
We'd have to do it with another couple.
Remember, I'm not good at
crystal ramps. That would be really good at getting us out. We could just watch, you know.
We've always gotten out. We've always had like 15 seconds left, but we've always gotten out within the time limit.
Yeah, that's very fun. We are going to step away again, Mary, very briefly for just a moment. We would like our audience to know what is one of the places that you can get Mary's books. And I think we figured out almost all 10 of them are there, right, Mary? I think maybe one is not there. But you can find them on our Out West Shop affiliate page on bookshop.org. And when we come back, Mary's going to read a passage from her book for us. So don't go away. We'll be right back. Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shops Bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com, find books and CDs on the menu, choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer. Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Rendezvous with a Writer. We're talking with Mary Seifert. In the book we're just holding up here now, Airplanes, Assassins.
No, Airplanes.
Atlanta. You know.
And an assassin.
The three A's, you know.
Say that four times fast.
The three A's.
Did you want to read a passage?
Mary? I will do that.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Carly Parks Bluestone made it to the head of a long line to receive her airline voucher when a black-haired stout man with a beaky nose shoved his way in front of the registration desk and demanded, "How dare you bump me? Do you know who I am?" The dolt accosting one of my students brought out the mama bear in me. Carly had never flown before, and feeling her anxiety, my protective instincts blazed. My nostrils flared. I stepped between them into a cloud of cologne that made me want to sneeze, and turned to face the curious onlookers, mouth gaping in disbelief. "Excuse me?" I raised my hand to quiet the murmurings and recited a line I'd held in reserve for just such an occasion. "Excuse me, does anyone know this man? He seems to have forgotten his name." I ignored the well-fitting navy blue Armani suit and tasseled black shoes polished to a high shine and focused on the twitch in his eye. My hand rested on my chest. "My name is Katie Wilk," I said slowly, as if speaking to a child. "Is there someone here with you, or someone we can call?" His jaw dropped. A tall blonde woman following the exchange covered her lips with long, slender fingers. The nails painted a glittery green matched her crinkling eyes. Her shoulders convulsed, smothering her laughter, and she gave me a thumbs up. I turned to the agent before the self-centered man could sputter any more words of non-wisdom and said, "I'm sorry, I probably shouldn't have said that." The agent smirked and ushered us forward. I'd already been put through the ringer. My patience had worn thin and he'd stomped on my last nerve. But when Carly gave me the high five, her accompanying grin and eye roll made it all worthwhile. "Bet you never thought teaching would be so tough." Carly tossed the curtain of straight black hair over her shoulder, her silver blue eyes lit with mischief. Who would have guessed I'd end up in education? But when my life's goals spun off the rails, I needed to investigate a career other than mathematical cryptanalysis. "How did you end up in Columbia, Minnesota? It's a long way from London," she teased gently. "Just lucky. Columbia is the best place to be. How could I go wrong?" I tried to mirror her laughter. I didn't tell her I applied for jobs all over the state and had only one interview. "What do you do with a degree in the study of codes and algorithms when you no longer want to study codes and algorithms?" "Research told me saying yes to extra duties might improve my chances and make me a more acceptable candidate. When they offered me the job to teach high school math, the only proposal I received, I signed on the dotted line."
That's great.
That's a great. That's quite great.
Yes, sir, I remember that. Really
good. We get to hear Katie in action. Yeah, that's really great.
We're going to talk about characters.
Yeah.
Do any of the characters ever surprise you in what they do?
They do. I do tend to have a very scant outline, but by the end of the story, they've already done things that I hadn't predicted. Often, yes. Katie and Maverick.
Mm-hmm. When you that idea and you sit down and you start writing, do you already kind of know who the victim is and who the killer is going to be, or do you not even quite know that yet?
I do. I know who the victim is. I know who the killer is. I know a few of the other suspects. I also plan a little bit about the code that I want to use, the actual puzzle that I'm going to be using in the book, so that I can tie that all together. I include a specific historical snippet about a female cryptographer sometimes male, but mostly female cryptographers, just because that's another tie-in that I have with Katie. So that's already part of what I start with when I begin writing. And then I fill in all the blanks with all those other surprises.
Yeah. Do you find that as you're going along, you realize you have to kind of go back and add another clue somewhere or a fake clue to throw the reader? You know, do you have to kind of go back and plant those, or do they just flow from your pen?
On occasion, I do go back. In fact, I finished book 11 this week. And when I finished reading it the umpteenth time, I thought, oh, I missed that because I didn't remember reading about it. So I had to go back and make sure that I had that particular clue for the very ending in the text closer to the beginning. So it does happen. Yes. I kind of know, I think I did it. And then I think, no, then when I actually read it, no, I didn't do it.
Yeah. 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 I know you have a question.
Yeah, let's we talk about Katie and Jane. Tell us about Jane, Jane Mackey. Yeah. What kind of person is she? What's she like?
Jane is very short, blonde, a fireball. That makes up for all of that, her height. You know, she's as tall as she could possibly be. Her father owns Sapphire Skyway, which is a charter airline, and that is what will help them eventually get around. That she became a pilot for her dad, so she is the pilot help as well throughout the book. She kind of knows what's going on. She knows people in the industry. He has quite a bit of money, and she decided that she wanted to strike out on her own. So she's a teacher with Katie. She has support. She doesn't try to use it very often. So that's Jane in a nutshell.
Yeah. She's a great character. Yeah, that's another one.
I will say that the other characters kind of think she's a legend, sort of a legend in her field. So I thought that was kind of interesting. So she seems to do a lot of things with planes and airlines that maybe you wouldn't think.
Yeah, Jane takes the up. Yeah.
She grew up in that industry.
Yeah.
Maverick. Now, we talked a little bit about Maverick being on the cover as a dog, but there's a little more to Maverick, though, than that, right?
There is. Maverick is a powerhouse of a dog. Actually, I have another one. This was a Maverick originally, in case those people want to see. So we actually have...
Oh, look at Maverick. Oh, all right.
And all the naughty things that show up in my book, he did. And if he didn't do it, one of his brothers did. But all the wonderful, great, spectacular things that happen in the book might have been done by the hospice therapy dogs that I work with, because those are phenomenal dogs and they do wonderful things. In the book, Maverick is a dog that is working very hard with the veterinarian to become a search and rescue dog. So he's learning some of the things that he needs to do, not to be that dog that pulls and barks and runs around and grabs food off the table. He's getting help from his veterinarian friend, CJ. That's Carly's dad.
Yeah.
I gotta ask about Wendell.
Oh, yeah. Ask about Wendell. Yeah.
About Wendell?
Yeah.
Wendell was in flight school, or learning how to fly with Jane when they were both very young. So he knows a little bit about planes too. And he kind of lost his way. So he was a troublemaker.
Yeah.
You know, was he modeled after anybody in real life?
Yeah, anybody you know?
No, nobody I know. Wendell is nobody I know.
She's not going to confess to it.
That's a tough question to answer, wasn't it?
What about Noah Lexington? What about Noah Lexington?
Noah was the third of the three of them together on the plane, and he was in flight school with Jane and with Wendell. They had kind of a history, the three of them. Wendell, I think, was the odd one out. Noah was more of the suave, sophisticated, pilotish looking person with the uniform, and Wendell was the man with the beaky nose and the stout size. So they were very different, but they both knew Jane from different sides, from different areas. And I think that the three of them together have a chemistry that might explode.
Talk about chemistry and exploding. Zaza. Tell us about Zaza.
Way back when Katie was in mathematical cryptanalysis in London, Zaza was also a student there. She and Katie were friends until Charles went into the picture with, kind of grew into the picture. Katie and Charles actually were married for 2 weeks. But before that happened, Zaza hadn't told Katie, but she wanted to marry Charles. And so there has been this animosity since that marriage between the two of them. So there are fireworks between Katie and Zaza.
Yeah.
There's a little crackling on the page when she enters this room. Yeah.
Felicity.
Oh, Felicity. Okay. Time. That's the last. Was the
is that
only
the
one.
Last one?
That's the last one we'll have time to ask about. Yeah. Ask. Go ahead.
Felicity. Yeah.
Felicity.
Felicity was Wendell's girlfriend. And you know, girlfriends and fiancés and wives and husbands and boyfriends, they're always the first one that you suspect when something happens.
We're going to step away one more time, Mary, for a word from another of our sponsors, and that is our business, OutWestShop.com, and more with Mary when we come back. Do not go away.
Here at the Out West Shop, we're passionate about the American West, the truth and the myth. We're purveyors of fine Western goods. We scout for unique and distinctive apparel, accessories, home decor, and general merchandise that are a reflection of the Western lifestyle. We hunt for unique artisans and craftsmen who are inspired to create decorative art you can wear based on their own love for the story of the West. We round it up and bring it to you. Check out OutWestShop.com when you need anything Western.
Welcome back. We're talking to Mary Seifert.
About airplanes, Atlanta, and
accents. Yes.
We have a kind of a two-part question. Do you enjoy reading cozy mysteries and or mysteries? And as you're reading them, are you kind of silently editing them and changing them and saying, well, I wouldn't write that. That's not right.
I love all mysteries. I started reading my mysteries when I was reading from my grandfather's library, and he loved mysteries. In fact, he had shelves of Ellery Queen magazines that I devoured. Oh, okay. And so I learned young how to read mysteries and what ones. And his favorite was Earl Stanley Gardner. So I've been reading mysteries forever. I love cozy mysteries. And on occasion, I will admit that I will look at a line and go, oh, I would not have written it that way. I probably would have tried to do this with it, but I try not to do that because they're so fun. They're so well done. So for the most part, and I know that when I go back and do mine, what I read in my head doesn't always show up on the page either. So I am aware of that. So I try not to. I try to enjoy it.
Yeah.
What do you have a particular book you're reading right now?
I am just actually,
I know we're putting you on the spot.
I'm reading one. It's called Groomsmen, and it is a cozy mystery. It's a travel cozy mystery. It is by Prince, P-R-I-N-C-E. And so I have a cozy mystery that I read there. I'm also reading David Baldacci on the side, and I've got, so I've got them all over the house, but yes, I am.
Yeah. Well, I know lots of times authors will say, oh, you've got to be a really good writer, get better at writing. You got to be reading. You have to just be kind of reading all the time. Yes. But I know carving out blocks of time to create means you have to give up something somewhere maybe. But then you have a husband that cooks. So
yes,
that's
I
really
do.
Great.
And he's a very good cook. Very fine. I eat well.
When do you find time to write? Do you have a real schedule, or you just pick and choose when you get a chance?
I am a morning person, so I get up at 5:45. I get a cup of tea. I let the dog out, and he and I come into my office, and he sits by my feet, and I write until probably a noon, kind of trying to get a chapter, a number of words, just to get an idea. I kind of try and leave that particular day on a question so that tomorrow when I come back, I have someplace to start that gives me a way to go. But I usually do my writing in the morning till about noon. And then I do a little bit of the editing in the afternoon. So I have a pretty rigid schedule.
I heard you say you do have a cup of tea. So do you have a favorite tea? Do you have a favorite tea?
I do. It's an orange tea. I do like the
orange tea.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy a position at the St. James Tea Room in Albuquerque, and I work in the market part of the tea room, and we offer 83 different teas. So when I hear somebody say they like tea, I love to know what they like.
Love tea. I also love Earl Grey tea. I love Earl Grey tea. I love a bergamot. I'm not trying to say that, but I love those. Love Paris tea. I could go on and on about tea.
All right. Well, we'll talk offline. How? So what are you working on next, Mary? What's coming out next?
The 11th book is going to be a G book because it is about golf. And my working title is Golf, Ghost, and Guilt. But that could change because I never know what actually it's going to come out as. But it is about golf. Katie does not golf. So she ends up being the beverage cart girl on the golf course.
Oh. And where can we find you, follow you, all that good social media and website stuff?
I am at Mary Seifert, author everywhere, on Facebook, on Instagram, in Threads. My website is MarySeifertAuthor.com. So everything has Mary Seifert and author. And the reason I did this is because there's another Mary Seifert out there. I am at all those places under Mary Seifert Author.
Wonderful. Well, Jim has a little quote.
We do have
something. Jim, we have a quote.
In this scene, Katie and Maverick, they're at the hospital awaiting news. And she says, Katie, Maverick, and I backed up to the wall as far as we could get away from the swarm of personnel intent on doing their job. I closed my eyes and slid down the cool brooks, wrapping my arms around my dog's neck, burying my head in his soft black fur. The voices melted with the other sounds while I concentrated on Maverick's steady breathing and a thump of his heart.
You can just picture that, can't you?
Thank you.
Mary, this has been so much fun to have you with us tonight. I'm so glad that we were able to schedule this, and we look forward to book 11 and everything else that follows. Please stay in touch with us. And if you ever get a beta reader or something, you know, we might be able to be available.
Thank you.
We want to take a moment. Did you have fun? Yes.
I had a riot. This is absolutely wonderful. Thank you very much for having me.
We're delighted.
We're here.
We're delighted.
Hey, good time.
We want to do a thank you to Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison and all our Blue Cottage friends that we know are watching tonight, or maybe we'll pick this up down the road. And also, we know a lot of our friends with Western Writers of America often tune in as well. And we just appreciate you watching and sharing and commenting. You don't know what it means to us and to our guests. It's really wonderful. Speaking of historians, next week, October 30th, episode 159, we have the three women of the Haughty Historian Collective joining us again. Jane Little Bodkin, I'm holding up a book she has written, although next week she'll be talking about a book she's working on. And Lynn Downey, and we'll be talking about her book, American Dude Ranch. And Janelle Maloney, Immigrant Tales of the Platte River Raids. And these three ladies with Jim and I will be discussing We Were There, the idea that women were where all of this happens. They're in the middle of the action. And these three award-winning historians know how to capture the story through the woman's perspective. And I think it's going to be a very engaging conversation. So we look forward to having you join us again next week. And what else? Do we have anything else we need to say?
I don't think so.
Well, we always say.
Well, first, again, thank you for being on. It's been a fun time. And we enjoy the book and we enjoy talking to you. And as we always say, it's always a great day out west.
Keep writing.
And we'll thank keep you. Reading.
We'll see you down the trail. Have a good night. Bye-bye.